This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
It humanizes Black women. It shows that we have flaws. We're human. We're imperfect. We're tea. We're gaggy. We're muggy. The edges be laid. We're intelligent. We're courageous. We're brave. We're strong. We're vulnerable. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the first episode of Tea and Theory. Woo! Where we spill the tea and back it up with theory. We are your host, Kesson.
And I'm Quenisha.
So you're probably wondering, who are these two random ladies in front of me? Mm-hmm. Or if you're listening to us, speaking to me. Yeah. Quenisha, who are you?
Well, girl, so I am a fourth year now in the counseling psychology PhD program. But first and foremost, before anything else, I am a Houston girly, Houston hottie, stand up, H-Town, hey, hold it down, baby. So, very much a Southern girly that shows up in how I talk, how I interact with the world, I think. Sometimes I be thinking I speak a little too slow for people, but it's fine. It's fine, but also in my love of food and cooking. My two favorite seasons is football season and crawfish season. Football season, the Baylor game is on right now, actually. So after we finish this, the Baylor game will be on my TV. But also, crawfish season, cannot live without it. And y'all will see when it gets to crawfish. I don't play. I do not play. Mm-mm. Even on this salary, I will find crawfish money.
You'll randomly text Quenisha, like, hey, girl. And she'll be like, oh, hey, I'm just in Timbuktu picking up crawfish.
I will travel for food.
She don't care. I'd be like, right. See you tomorrow then, I guess.
Yep, we'll travel for food. Yeah. I'm a big foodie. I love to cook. I love to eat. I love exploring new restaurants. But I also love self-care.
Yes.
I love taking care of myself, being able to do yoga. I will pop up, get a massage, go get my nails done. Take a week off from school because,
We're working.
We're working. We be needing a week off too. They don't seem to understand that, but it's fine with me. But also, just very much a woman that has a heart for other Black women. Mm. I love Black women's wellness, and I love being able to give back to Black women because so many Black women are important to me.
Yeah.
And it's important for me to be able to do the same for them.
Yeah.
So, Miss Kesson, who are you, girl?
Me?
Yeah, it's a lot of people.
Oh my God. So I am now a fifth year doctoral student. I promise I'm happy. I promise. And hailing from Montreal, Quebec. Woo! Raised in Miami, Florida, 305, period. And then I did undergrad at Spelman. So I also rep Atlanta, Georgia. I'm actually from all three places at the same time, and I mean that. I'm currently downloading my Dallas personality, so that's coming soon.
I'm gonna get her to Houston and we'll work on that.
What?
I'm sorry.
Shout out to the DFW. Big D. And then I rep Benton too. So little D. I'm in the big D and the little D. Yeah. But yes, Haitian. So I'm a Caribbean woman. I'm Haitian. Love the work that I do as a psychology trainee, but I also love just being a person. I love music. I love trying new things. So I don't really have my hobby solidified like that. I
just be doing stuff.
Zigzag motion. Okay, the matcha girls get it. I love matcha. I love making drinks. I love whether it's like, being a barista or being a bartender. I love doing that. I love doing fun things, like whatever is fun and engaging. I love connecting with people. And I love Black women. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a lot of the reason why we're both sitting here. Yes. For Tea in Theory is like, I think it's really nice to be able to kind of gather all this knowledge. I think we have a lot of privilege kind of being in academia, being in grad school. And so being able to like share this wonderful knowledge that, and sometimes bleak knowledge. I ain't gonna lie, to research. So being able to kind of share all this knowledge, kind of lower the drawbridge to the ivory tower, is really fun, and trying to do it in a way that is engaging, which is why I think Tea in Theory is so important. Because we're trying to make what can seem routine, what can seem, so regular, we're connecting it back to the research, trying to affirm and validate and kind of make sense of what our world is kind of going through, even though we are currently in a dumpster fire.
Floating in the middle of the ocean. With no Jesus. Hope, but it's okay. We find some hope.
Yeah, we'll find some hope.
Yeah,
and so that's what I hope that you find here, with us.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I think Tea in Theory is important. What about you?
So I think Tea in Theory is so important because, again, like you said, we're taking these everyday conversations that we're having.
Yeah,
because you and I love our conversations. Yeah. I feel like they're like equally part like stimulating and kind of insane.
Yeah.
So there's a nice little mix.
Yes. And real.
Exactly. Yeah. It's real. Very real. And we have this ability and this knowledge to be able to kind of make sense of some stuff.
Yeah, weave it all together.
That I think even in our everyday lives, like, had we not been doing the research that we do, even trying to make sense of something sometimes, it's just like, damn, what was that? What is this? What's going on? But at least we're able to kind of back it up a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I love us being able to do that. And it's something that I'm hoping we'll be able to kind of bring other people into, invite them onto this couch to sit with us and have these conversations and really like dive into it.
Yeah.
Because girl, life is.
Yeah.
But I love being able to do that with you.
Yeah.
Yes. I love the life of you.
Yes. And it's interesting because I feel like we're so different too. And so I think it'll be nice for you guys to kind of get to know us and kind of see the ways that we're so different, but very alike. And I think it's kind of like, I think we have a nice balance, which is why I think it's very nice to do this with you, because I feel like I'm me and you're you, but we go together.
We fit like a little puzzle.
Yeah. Oh my god, that was so wholesome and nice of us. But yeah, like literally, I feel the same way. I genuinely love our conversations, and as much as like messy and insane and kind of like, whoa, what is this? We're on like an astral plane. They're very real,
they are.
They're so validating and comforting, and I think like being able to do that together. Mm-hmm. But now, like, kind of inviting other people into it to kind of share in, like, our sisterhood and kind of our journey and our learning to understand and trying to make sense of all that is our life and the life that is happening
around us at all times.
At all times. Yeah. But yeah.
But yeah.
So that's the tea in the theory.
That's the tea in the theory.
We have a little something.
Is it time for something?
Is it time?
I think it's time for something. Okay. Mm,
we got the tea.
We got the theory.
We got the tea and the theory. We got the tea and the theory.
What?
We got the tea and the theory.
Yes! Tea and theory is now in session. But this ain't therapy, baby.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
So, we would like to start our sessions with just checking in with each other. Like, how are you doing, girl?
Yes. Well, you know, today I've been pretty good. I have not done a lot. I've been resting, I've been taking my little day off seriously.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of sitting on the couch.
Yeah.
Watching some Degrassi.
Nice.
Even though that is kind of stressful. I don't know why I watch that, is to relax, but it was, you know, it happened.
Yeah.
Made me some breakfast this morning.
Yes.
So, you know, a nice slow morning. Sat on my balcony. The weather's getting a little bit cooler.
Okay.
And so I sat on my balcony and meditated this morning. I literally laid out there for a good hour. It was so nice. The breeze was perfect.
Yeah.
So I'm good. I'm feeling good. Everything is just, today has been a very settled day.
Yeah.
How are you?
Well, no. I had a bit of a, you know, a day.
Okay.
Had a lot of things going on.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I'm here. I am present.
Okay.
If that.
Yes. No, we love present because even when we have a day, sometimes we gotta find a way to be present.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you're present here with me.
Yeah, period. I'm happy to be here. Happy to get this show on the road.
Yes.
Our next segment is going to be our icon of the week.
Yes. So our icon of the week is Miss Nicole Collier. So if you don't know, if you haven't been keeping up with Texas politics, as I'm sure a lot of people have tried to tune us out, and I don't blame them.
I was going to say, I'm here and I literally slam.
Yep, because protect your peace. But I am going to give you a little bit, just a little bit, but just so that you can understand why she is our icon of the week. So what has been happening in the month of August? So starting at the beginning of August, a special session was called in the Texas Congress by our governor to what he said the session was called for was to put in a bill that would address the flooding that happened in Kerr County over the summer, which was really tragic. It was really bad. But what actually happened when they got there is the Republicans were trying to push a redistricting bill instead. And this was at the request of the president, who sent this down to other red states. So the Democrats decided, okay, no, we're not putting up with that. So they fled. They fled to blue states that offered them kind of a haven.
Yeah.
While they were regrouping and stopping this vote.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of things happened between once they left. They were gone for about 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And they, the Republicans that remain were trying to get them arrested, send people to get them. And so it was a lot of drama. And so after the 2 weeks, you know, eventually they came back.
Yeah.
They come back, and when they get to, you know, to the Capitol, to the Texas Capitol,
mm-hmm.
they're told, if you want to be able to leave this building, you need to sign this permission slip. And from there, we'll assign an officer that will escort you everywhere to make sure that you come back for this vote. And Nicole Collier was the only one to not sign that permission slip
work.
And so she stayed in she stayed there that whole, I don't even remember how many days she was there. She was there for over 24 hours, I know. Slept there and everything. Because she refused to sign this permission slip, essentially saying that if I want to leave, I have to have this police escort.
Yeah.
And after a while, you know, other Democrats joined her, but she really became the face of this because she was the only one to outright actually refuse to sign it and never signed it. Some of the right. others had signed, then they ripped them up later.
Yeah.
But she was the one that was kind of holding it down, 10 toes down from yeah. the jump, from the start. And even during her time, she got a call from Vice President Kamala Harris.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just telling her to, you know, stay strong. But she is our icon of the week because even in a time where we could have had a Black woman president.
Yeah.
And a lot of Black women, as a result of that, said, hey, I'm resting. I'm taking my time.
Yep.
She still was there. She yeah. still was the one to really take a stand in that yeah. moment, and she really was taking a stand by herself.
Yeah.
Icon. So that is why.
I mean, first of all, I mean, shout out to her. I mean, iconic. Mm-hmm. I mean, to be able to stand your ground in something that is, I mean, to be honest, scary as hell. Like, right?
That's
like,
so scary.
What do you mean, my boss? Or I mean, is Greg Abbott kind of their boss? Their coworker?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Uh-huh.
Anyways. Yep. But for you to call the cops on me because I don't want to sign a permission. Also, permission slip is kind of crazy.
It's like,
are we in preschool?
Exactly. You get a permission slip when you go on a field trip.
Like,
nothing about this was fun.
I'm grown.
I just wanted to go home.
Mind you, I pay bills.
Let me go to the hotel. Something.
I pay bills. Like, I genuinely don't know. Like, what is, like, where are we, how are we supposed to come back from this? Like, okay, stepping out a little
yeah.
bit, how are we supposed to come back from this as a country? If, like, we are calling the police on each other, like, if
mm-hmm.
they're calling the police on people, and then for me to leave, I have to sign and then have a police escort. And mm-hmm. then I flee the state. And so then you try to send the FBI after me. How are we supposed to then come back together and, like, mm-hmm. work on bills and, like, work for our constituents? How?
And honestly, I couldn't even say how, because if I have to work with you across the aisle and you're the same person who's putting forth these bills, putting forth the, oh, well, let's call the police on them, let's send someone to go get them, I don't feel safe with you.
No.
Now, as a coworker, because for one, if we're not even thinking about, like, them sending them after all the Democrats, but that is a Black woman.
Yeah.
That is a Black woman, and you want her to trust a police officer to escort her?
Like, think about the layers. Think uh-huh. about the audience. Think about, yes. like, the implications. Think about the undertones, mm-hmm. girls. But, like, nah, this is actually very crazy. Good luck to us as... Americans, yeah. I guess.
You know, it's unfortunately, yeah. It's like in this moment.
Yeah.
We are where we are, and it kind of is what it is until.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
But I will say, fortunately.
Yeah.
And this is a very small fortunately, because things are looking bleak. They're looking.
Yeah.
But like having women like her. Take a stand, mm-hmm. and she took that stand on her own, and then inspired her peers to then come back and like kind of take a stand. I feel like it's inspiring and kind of give me just a little bit of hope,
a little bit
about where we can go,
yeah.
Because there are people who are not taking it laying down,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's inspiring for her to take a stand because things are very scary. I mean, look mm-hmm. at how things are going on. In Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Like, it's terrible, right? But the fact that she was able to take a stand, I think, is inspiring and is iconic. Yeah, and just reflective of the type of people that we want to highlight on the show.
I agree. Yeah. Look at you finding silver lining. See,
you gotta find it. You gotta look hard these days, but
with the magnifying glass,
I'll be zooming in, just trying to find something. But yes, thank you for our icon of the week. Mm-hmm.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts, but not just any gifts. Real gifts, thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail? Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
All right. So moving forward with our main topic of the week.
Okay.
All right. So we'll be talking a little bit about, you know, Black women in reality TV.
Yeah.
What's been really hot, you know, and if you don't know, you've been under a very nice rock. Scoot over. Let me come in.
Okay.
I should have left you alone. Yeah. Oh, Love Island. And the whirlwind that's been.
Yeah.
But on a nice note, you know, I think it was a good illustration of Black sisterhood mm-hmm. and, you know, community with Alandria uh-huh. and Shelly. And I think that I saw like a Teen Vogue interview that they did together mm-hmm. prior to recent developments and you know the reunions and this and that.
Yes.
By Ayana Ishmael, where Shelly and Alandria kind of talk about, you know, their experience and being called mm-hmm. mean girls and things of that nature. And I think Ayana Ishmael, this is fantastic work.
That article.
This is fantastic work. When we talk about the girls getting back into journalism,
girl.
Yeah. Please. The photographer, Patience Ogionuka. Thank you. Everybody involved in this piece. Mwah, y'all was on job. But I really, really, really love this article because I feel like it touched on so many good points. Mm-hmm. It touched on so many things that I feel like Black women can relate to with, you know, Shelly and Alandria coming in, very similar to, I feel like, Serena and Janae from the previous mm-hmm. season, with like Leah, but them being there to support each other. I think Alandria and Shelly came in and it was kind of like, it's this wonderful kind of watching them get together mm-hmm. and like continue to support each other in the villa, which I think is so incredibly important because they're in a place where they are just being perceived where they were, unbeknownst to them, being villainized. And they were having a lot of experiences that I felt like they were able to understand each other through. And when I say that, I mean, like, you know, with Alandria kind of being very cool throughout the season and kind of keeping herself together up until a certain point with, like, Taylor, where she finally lets out her frustration, right? Everyone's shocked at that. But, you know, Shelly's still able to provide support. You know, Shelly coming in and during the heart rate challenge with, you know, other castmates acting a certain way and her just needing to take a break, right? And being able to back up and that not even being afforded to her. But through that, I feel like it was really nice to watch them support each other, kind of love on each other throughout a really tumultuous experience.
Yeah, I think that's the word, because boy, the way it progressed, but I think about how it started.
Yeah.
And though, even those first moments of both of them arriving on the island, seeing each other and being like, sister,
it was so cute. They're just so cute.
It was so beautiful.
Yes.
For them to even, it just those small things like that, making that connection. And from there, I mean, inseparable.
Yeah.
And it was so beautiful to see that, because we don't have enough of true sisterhood representation on TV, and especially not on reality TV.
Especially when it comes to competing for a man.
For a man, girl, we don't see that. people throwing each other on the buses left and right. It gets really hostile. It was really beautiful to see them not only see each other, recognize each other, love each other on that island, but to be committed to that friendship and supporting each other through that process.
I think it was really beautiful. And I think even the ways that they themselves talk about the friendship is really so cute. So Alandria tells Teen Vogue, "We're soul sisters for a reason. We'll always say to one another, God knew we needed each other. I'm so happy that past seasons didn't work out, because season 7 was the year to be here at the same time." And even throughout the interview, they really talk about how, or Ayana kind of describes the ways that they have these little kind of moments where they show love to each other without even saying anything. So she describes them as like leaning on each other for support. Like in during the interview, kind of holding hands. And then they talked about, you know, they were able to find comfort in small routines. So their favorite memories were upstairs braiding hair together, blue magic grease in one hand and a crochet needle in the other. And so Shelly says, "Yo, you're my girl. You know, you're stuck with me, right? You're not going anywhere." And I think that's like so beautiful. And I think that's such a beautiful representation of like Black sisterhood is, you know, you got me, I got you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The beauty in us helping each other do our hair. It sounds like a lot of validating of each other's experiences, because their experience was a lot.
It was a lot.
It was a lot.
It was a whole lot.
Yeah. They had a lot of like narratives go out about them. A lot of people thinking that they were mean and things like that. And so it was really beautiful to see that happen. And I think the research also talks a lot about kind of Black women's support for each other being kind of a something that sustains us. And so in an article by Jones and Lewis in that released in 2025, so they write that, you know, Black feminists have long acknowledged that community is key for Black women's emotional well-being and liberation. And so in this article, they cite people like, you know, Patricia Hill Collins. They talk about how, you know, the Black family, especially Black mothers, are at the center of community, and like ways that Black women develop expansive community is often through sisterhood. So sister friends, sister circles, or creating connections with other Black women. And there's so much rich literature that kind of highlights how important it is for us to kind of be able to lean on each other when we are going through things. Because oftentimes you're able to just connect, because so much of our experiences are sometimes tied to our oppression.
Yeah.
And so getting the support of another woman who understands what you've been through, mm-hmm. who most likely has also been through that as well, is just very affirming, very validating. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of resiliency that is kind of built through that, just being able to be supported by someone else and going through the same. I think there's a lot of wonderful words from Bell Hooks.
Oh.
And she talks about mm-hmm. community and sisterhood that I'm always like, ooh, this is too good.
Yeah, and mind you, Bell Hooks from the 80s.
Don't get me
and
started.
And the 90s, but don't it's 2025.
It's 2025.
And it still hits.
Like, Bell Hooks, come back. Because why are we talking about Bell Hooks in 2025?
In 2025. And when you read it, it's like, oh, are you sitting here with us right now? As all of this is happening? Stuff that wasn't even invented.
Yeah.
At that time.
Yes. Like, and they were saying so many wonderful things, like talking about how women are enriched mm-hmm. when we bond with one another. Which I think is so true. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing that in I think Alandria and Shelley, mm-hmm. right? But I also think in watching them, we were also able to see kind of what happens when, how do I say this? Mm-hmm. Sometimes the sisterhood is not built the correct way.
Mm, yes.
Because I'll start with Bell Hooks here. Mm-hmm. The emphasis on sisterhood, and this is from, Sisterhood, Political Solidarity Between Women, Chapter 4, and it's from Feminist Theory, From Margin to Center. And so she writes, the emphasis on sisterhood was often seen as the emotional appeal, masking the opportunism of manipulative bourgeois white women. It was seen as a cover-up, hiding the fact that many women exploit and oppress other women.
Well, take a little sip.
And I'll read a little bit more.
Oh,
okay. So she writes how there was a Black woman activist lawyer, Florence mm-hmm. Kennedy, who wrote an essay. And so she says, it is for this reason that I have a considerable difficulty with the sisterhood mystique. Quote unquote, we are sisters. Quote unquote, don't criticize a sister publicly. Mm-hmm. Mm. And I feel like we kind of saw that.
That sounded a little familiar.
I feel like we kind of saw that.
Ooh, child.
I feel like we kind of saw that.
We definitely saw that. There are clips that were re-ran. Mm. We definitely saw that.
Yeah.
And as we're thinking about like how they built their sisterhood based on, well, we're going to be girls. But even taking that definition of a girl's girl and kind of flipped it a little bit, but it was very shaky ground.
Yeah.
Which these friendships were built on.
Yeah.
And so as soon as, you know, something real needed to happen, mm-hmm. something maybe a little tougher, some of the tougher conversations,
yeah.
some of the harder truths
yeah.
needed to come out. That's where we saw some tears.
Yeah.
And we saw some hostility,
yeah.
especially as it was coming towards Alandria
yeah.
and Shelley, as they would finally express what they were experiencing and what yeah. they were feeling. And yeah, no, we saw that.
Yeah.
We can't even say, baby.
And I feel like watching it back, it was kind of like you were saying, there was a friendship that was built. Or I'll say quote unquote friendship mm-hmm. that was attempted to be built too quick without actually building a foundation.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, with certain cast members kind of coming in and immediately saying,
yeah.
we're girls, this is a sisterhood, this friendship island, mm-hmm. right? I think there was this false security that was created. And like when the things got tough, you know, folks got going.
Yeah.
But at this point, it's been refreshing to see kind of that opposite to Alandria and Shelly, mm-hmm. where we've been able to kind of see them go through, and I think they're kind of going through a rough patch right now. It's kind of, and that's a whole different conversation. Mm-hmm. But what we saw in the villa was them kind of being able to sustain each other through something that, you know, was, didn't seem like the best experience. Mm-hmm. And I think that Bell Hooks does a good job talking about this as well, where she writes, you know, women were wise to reject a false sisterhood based on shallow notions of bonding. We are mistaken if we allow distortions or the women who created them to lead us to devalue sisterhood. And I think that's what a lot of seeing how the girls interacted with Hoda, mm-hmm. I think that could tell people that sisterhood is not a real thing. Yeah. Sisterhood is not something that we should value. But it definitely is.
Yeah.
When it's built correctly.
Exactly. And like you said, being able to see those two examples, I think was really important to be able to show, yes, sisterhood can exist. And you can build it on a firmer ground and not just, oh, we're all girls coming in and we're gonna look out for each other.
Yeah.
But something deeper of, okay, you and I have this shared connection and mm-hmm. we genuinely want to be in this honest, authentic relationship. And I think that authenticity piece is, you know, that's what the shakier friendship was definitely missing. And I'm also thinking about, I had a thought, oh my gosh, where to go?
Catch it.
You know, it's, I gotta, trying to grab it up. I was thinking about, just the importance of being able to, again, see those two examples, because I think about younger women. I was reading something earlier that talked about, or no, I was watching something earlier that talked about how tween media mm-hmm. has just disappeared. And now, you know, instead of them watching things like That So Raven, The Proud Family, apparently they're watching stuff like Love Island. I was like, oh,
and Baddies.
Stop. It's like, why? We don't have, like, they don't have what we had growing up.
You don't gotta keep
Where do you find sisterhood when you're watching these reality shows? You're not seeing how to build sisterhood, how to build community, how to really make solid friends.
And
you know, be able to like tell the difference, because everybody's turning on everybody every 2 seconds. Yeah. Somebody's fighting. Yeah. And it's like, That concerns me. I don't know. I'm about to get on my soapbox. That concerns me, because I'm like, because you know, it's so important, especially for young Black girls and for Black women. Mm. Like you said, community is so central to how we sustain ourselves.
And this podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts, but not just any gifts. Real gifts, thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail? Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
So for this to be their example, I'm glad they had Shelly and Alandria to be able to see how they went about it.
Yeah.
How they interacted with each other and how they supported each other when things were hard, or if somebody was coming for them, how they backed each other up.
Yeah.
And was able to say like, oh, wait, like, hold up.
Yeah,
this isn't how I experienced this.
Yeah,
and that can be so important.
Yeah, and even the whole thing with like Hoda being upset and like Alandria communicating for Shelly. Mm-hmm. Like, just let her have a break. You know, she's not like, she doesn't hate you. Let her take a beat. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? So even having someone who stands up for you in that way, mm-hmm. Must be so helpful. And it makes me think about Love Island UK, which I don't think you've watched. Mm-mm. But so I know on our side of the pond, Shelly and Alandria came in together. On they side, they let in one black woman at a time.
Oh,
especially this year. I was kind of shocked. I was like, oh. it was literally like a rotating, like a revolving door. One would come in, the other would leave. Like, they would get like they would see each other, and then the other one would be dragged out by the back of her shirt.
I was like, so alone.
Girl.
I would feel so alone.
It was insane. And so there's like this whole, there was this couple, Dijon and Meg. Mm-hmm. So Meg is a white woman, Dijon is a black man. And so at the time, one of the OGs was a Lima. Gorgeous doll. Gorgeous, gorgeous doll. And so she's the one black woman there. And so they have this bombshell come in, Malisha. Gorgeous girl. And as you can tell, I stand black women. And so she comes in and she's going after Dijon. Uh-huh. And so they're talking. And so, you know, Meg is kind of, you know, she's like, get off my man, but she's my man. Oh, she's boring. Oh, they're boring. Da-da-da. And so they're getting into an argument, Malisha and Meg. And so they're shouting at each other across the villa. Malisha leaves upset. The one person who comes to check on her is Alima.
Okay.
The one person who comes to her defense, mind you, she just got there, is Alima. Uh-huh. Right? And so we see the value in Black sisterhood, even when it's not, I think, necessarily like, what is the word? Like, grounded, mm-hmm. right? Like, they hadn't known each other for long, but her even just being able to stand up for her and, like, be the only person who mm-hmm. saw to even think to do that, I think speaks volumes, right? And so she's the one person who goes, I don't think that you should be engaging with this girl like that. Let her talk to your man. That's the whole point. That's why she came in. Da-da-da. So she's the one person who stands up for her, you know? And I think that illustrates how Black sisterhood is so necessary. You know, having a Black woman who will see you and validate you and support you. And it doesn't even have to be like, oh, now we're besties. Mm-hmm. But like, you are even able to understand what I'm coming into, understand what I'm going through, and to even just be able to speak up for me. I think that's Black sisterhood to a T to me.
It is. No, honestly, you kind of just wrote the definition.
I mean, hey,
it's a system,
you know,
but no, really, that very much is what it is mm-hmm. of being able to see another Black woman and say, I'm here with you. Mm-hmm. We may not know each other. We may not have the closest relationship. We may not know what each other has been through, but knowing who you are and what world we're existing mm-hmm. in.
Yeah.
We have a connection.
Yeah.
And I think there's something so powerful when we can recognize that as Black women of, we both have this connection. We may not know each other yet, but you know, we see it in our everyday lives when you are, you know, maybe you're in an all white space and you see another Black woman and y'all both kind of look at each other like, we communicate in ways like with our eyes, with just an expression. And it's something so beautiful.
Yeah.
Something so beautiful in that. And to your point, I think that's a big part of that sisterhood of just being able to create those connections that you don't even, again, that grounding doesn't have to be there yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think something else that was really interesting. So really interesting to me was in thinking about like Black women on reality TV, understanding how you're going to be perceived. I also saw a lot of the strong Black woman schema. And so for those who do not know, this is something that is from it, the Superwoman schema. I will cite Dr. Cheryl Elwood's Giscombe. And so a lot of the strong Black woman schema is really ways that Black women will silence themselves, prioritize other people's needs, nurture others, really to like make sure that, you know, they're taking care of other people. They're showing up for other people. And it's been a coping mechanism that has been incredibly helpful. But oftentimes it is something that is that impacts Black women's health and how they're able to show up and take care of themselves. And I think that Alandria talks about this as well when she says, I just knew going into the show, especially as a Black woman, I was representing more than just myself. The world always tries to label us as angry Black women. They use a moment of weakness and make that one specific time our whole character. I knew that when it came to my emotions, I had to dial that back, which I did for the majority of the season. And then she talks about kind of how when she broke down after Taylor kind of recoupled with Clark, you know, the moment that I did break and I kind of blew, people were like, I knew it. That's the real her, she recalls. I wanted to be unapologetically me, but it's like this world doesn't allow Black women to do that. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And it makes me think about just the amount of preparation she had to go into just before she even decided. And I think they say it in the article too, of how it was either her or Shelley that really like took some time before they accepted to come in.
Yeah.
And just imagining how much she was kind of weighing in that moment of, okay, like this is, if I go on this show, I already know how the world perceives Black women. Let me prepare myself mentally.
Yeah.
But also, how do I want to show up?
Yeah.
How do I need to manage my emotions and all those things? All those things that we have to do when we walk into workspaces, we walk into classrooms, we walk down the street.
Yeah.
All those different things that we have to do just for her to say, I want to go be on this show.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go do this thing.
Yeah.
And I just imagine even if it's not always apparent, just the exhaustion that goes into just having to sit and consider that when you know your other castmates, they're not having to think about that.
Yeah.
They're not thinking about like, oh, what are people gonna think of me when I step on this show? What are they gonna not only think of me, what are they gonna think about other Black women?
Yeah. Yeah. And how much that is to carry, right? While you're trying to still show up as just yourself. And so, yeah, that's so much. And I think for them, they do a great job at, or I think they did a great job at still showing up as themselves while kind of having this knowledge. Yeah.
Something else that came to mind when you were talking about the strong Black woman schema, something we know that is really prevalent for women that identify with that is that caretaking role.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that we saw throughout with both of them of anybody else is upset, anybody else needs support, something's wrong. Yeah. They're the first ones going in and saying like, okay, well, what can I do? How can I help you? They're the first ones jumping in.
Yeah.
But then when we see that they need that same support, it's not the same story.
Yeah.
Them trying, you know, them having moments where they're more vulnerable, them having moments where they're upset and rightfully so.
Yeah.
And some of the, like what we watched transpire over time. And for them to have held it for so long. And then when they really need people to be able to say, oh, like, are you okay? What's going on? It, instead of it being that, it's there she is.
Yeah.
That's who you really are in this moment.
Yeah. And yeah, they're just not even afforded. And it's, I think, dehumanizing in a sense, right? Where you can't even show up as a full human and just experience a range of emotions. And I think that even being kind of held beside watching Hoda kind of terrorize the villa. And terrorize, I'm not even using that lightly. they had that one time where they were like scared for Iris. Like they had to bust in and be like, what's going on? Because everybody's scared for Iris. Like, hello? Yeah. Hello? So like, even just thinking about like being in a villa where someone gets to kind of walk around and do that. Mm-hmm. And like, you can't even just be upset about the fact that like, the guy that you had been, you thought that you were building a connection with,
yes,
like dipped on you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Like what? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think another part of that is, and so I'm going to go back and actually,
yes,
correctly break down, the strong black woman schema.
Let's take us
and
back.
I'm gonna read it, and I'm gonna read it because I was like, hold on now. I'm going off the top of my brain, but hold on, let me read y'all the tea. Mm-hmm. So the strong black woman is a modern controlling image, right? And so it's a controlling image in the fact that it started out as kind of this stereotype, the mm-hmm. superwoman stereotype, because of all of the oppression that black women have been facing. That they just had to be the person who just does it all. I mean, even going back, thinking about like the war on drugs and like they're sending all the black men away. So who's left to kind of take it all on?
That's the
black woman. And so the stereotype, right, then became a schema in that a lot of black women then internalized that image because it was helpful. I mean, if it's helping me keep it together, why not? And so the strong black woman schema, or the superwoman schema, coined by Woods Yiscombe in 2010, is really characterized by a black woman who is emotionally strong, independent, and self-sacrificial. And kind of getting into what you were talking about is that despite it being very helpful and it helped black women kind of prevail and survive, it's impactful. It impacts black women's health. So when we're thinking about like the self-silencing, when do you ask for help? When do you take a break? Mm-hmm. Right? When do you share that you can't do this thing? Right? Oftentimes we do not. And so we see that in kind of the increase in blood pressure, diabetes, and the links to like mental health, right? So depression, anxiety, and things like that. And so when I think about, or what I've read as well, is a lot of scholars will kind of talk about the strong black woman schema, acknowledge the fact that it's very helpful, but also acknowledge the fact that over time it wears black women down. Mm-hmm. And so they've kind of been like, all right, so we got to figure out a way for black women to put this down.
Yes.
And so what I find interesting is that black women, when they try to step away from the strong black women schema, are often met with othering, which is something that was broken down by Carter and Rossi in 2019, who reported that black women who resist the role of the strong black woman may be met with othering, and that they are questioned or perceived as not fitting in for not performing according to this controlling image. This mm-hmm. othering can manifest in behaviors such as name calling, exclusion from community activities, having one's feeling dismissed, or being questioned for expressing fatigue. And so I'm thinking back to when like Alandria finally kind of shared her frustration and disappointment at mm-hmm. Taylor, right? And people kind of name-calling her, villainizing her for that. I'm thinking about Shelly just needing a break, mm-hmm. right? And her being villainized for that. Her being someone who is now, and I think I see it in other shows as well. So thinking about Megan Thee Stallion's documentary,
yes,
which was fantastic.
Absolutely fantastic.
But her just even talking about, and we watched the documentary where she's navigating kind of everything with Tory Lanez. Glad you're in jail, Diva. Tory Lanez, and trying to kind of maintain and kind of sustain herself. Mm-hmm. But like, I felt like watching the documentary, I was kind of like, Megan needs to sit down. Yeah. Like, Megan needs a break. And everyone around her was like,
you got it.
Keep going, girl.
Yep.
Do your show.
Mm-hmm. Quickly.
And like me, as like a viewer, as a black woman, I was like, this is not. And I think what's interesting was not only were like people outside of like the black community telling her to keep going, people within the black community were telling her to keep going. I think one of the scenes that I remember the most was when she was like her breaking point, right? Mm-hmm. And she's at practice with Lorianne Gibson. And she's telling her, like, I can't do this. And Lorianne's like, get up, girl. We've got this. Get up. Get your ass up. Da 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 da. Yep. And I remember being like, yeah. Like, this is what we know. And so we try to, in that, I think in Black sisterhood as well, right?
Yeah.
We tell each other to keep fucking pushing because mm-hmm. that's all we sometimes got is yeah. to keep going, right? We pride ourselves in being resilient.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just kind of like, yeah, like, where is the world ready for Black women to put the mask down, to stop being strong Black women?
And that's a big question. Is the world ready? Because we have to take it even a step further. Are Black women ready? Because I think about what you just said. How can we, like Black women who have been performing in the strong Black woman schema, mm-hmm. who are used to showing up as being resilient,
yep.
how can they even give the advice to sit down and slow down and stop if they've yeah. never heard it themselves?
Yeah.
If there's never been an example for them of it's okay to sit down, slow yeah. down, take a pause, take a yep. moment, stop. If they haven't seen it, if they haven't heard it, how can we even show up for each other
mm-hmm.
and provide that example and provide that support to do it?
Yeah.
A lot of
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Times, you know, we give what we know.
Yeah.
And we give what we've already kind of been gifted.
Yeah.
And so it's like, if you never received that gift to say, it's okay. You can rest, baby.
Yeah.
You can take a moment. If you haven't gotten that, it's like, how do you begin to get
bestow it upon
exactly
else.
If you don't have it.
Right.
And I think what we are seeing though is a very positive shift.
Mm.
In the strong Black woman schema, in mm-hmm. that younger generations are mm. now starting to redefine it.
Mm.
They're starting to redefine what strength means to them,
mm-hmm.
what they want being a strong Black woman to look yeah. like for them. And shout out to Dr. Jones. And I believe that was, we're gonna find it. We're finding it. And yes, it does take that long, but it's okay.
Yes, it does take that long to find it. It does.
But
it
I'll
does.
Talk about it while we find it. But shout out to Dr. Jones. And when they were interviewing people to learn about, like, okay, well, what do you want strong Black woman to look like for you? What does that look like for you? How do you want to redefine this? They were talking about vulnerability. Finding strength in being able to be vulnerable, finding strength in being able to slow down, not push themselves, not overwork themselves, yeah. not have to be everyone for everybody.
Yeah.
And I think that is so strong because being vulnerable can be really hard.
Yeah.
Relying on others.
Yeah.
Is really hard.
Yeah. Takes strength.
It takes so much strength and yeah. it's so undervalued and underappreciated in yep. how much strength it can take. So I feel really good about the direction we're going in.
Yeah. yeah.
I do wish we could push a little bit faster, but even faster.
But you know, we
I want everybody to experience.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah. I recognize that change does take time.
Yeah. I mean, it's been years and people that we've been, this is yeah, how we've been operating. Yeah.
For years and years and yeah. years. And it takes time for one, for us to be able to accept that change.
Yeah.
And what we have to be okay with is that others may not.
Yeah.
They may not get there.
Yeah.
They may push back. And that's going for your family,
yeah,
your friends, when you decide to redefine strength and
yeah.
show strength in a different way.
Yeah.
There is, and I think it's important to talk about it, there is that real pushback.
Yeah.
That you get. It's not an easy process.
Yeah. And to that point, I think about this other reality show, Ready to Love, in mm-hmm. season 5. And so there was this love triangle between Dakia, Clifton, who is the man, uh-huh. and the woman that he ultimately picks, which is Joy. Okay. And so as you're watching the season, I don't know how I started watching that show, to be honest. shout out on network, I guess. But actually, not shout out. Woo, I'll take that back, honey. Send us that check. I'm kidding. But in that, so as we're watching it progress, he's kind of uh-huh. dating both women. And despite us as viewers seeing that it looks like he likes Joy a lot more, yeah. he's still entertaining Dakia. Mm. So you're kind of like, okay. Uh-huh. And so for Dakia, she's like really excited. She's really into him.
Yeah.
And so there's a certain point near the end of the, like near the finale, where they have to pick one person. He mm-hmm. finally tells her like, oh, I think I'm going to go with Joy. And for her, yeah. Dakia is like very understanding. She's like, man, I could tell this because like they were like away at a cabin or something, and she's watching them kind of engaged. She's like, I'm getting the hint. But he also hasn't told me.
Yeah.
So he finally tells her, and she breaks down and she cries in his arms. And it was very beautiful because she was kind of reaffirming her strength by saying, you know, I'm strong, but this was hurtful.
Yeah.
And so I'm watching it and I'm like, yes, like we should see this more. Mm-hmm. Black women do cry, and it's a normal part of life. And then we get to the reunion. And so Clifton and Joy are now together. Dakia's there. She's fine. And so they kind of talk about the moment where he kind of breaks things off, and Joy uses that as a time to belittle Dakia, right? She kind of makes fun of the fact that she was crying. But I will say, I respect Dakia so much because she held her own. She was like, and I did cry, and it did hurt.
Look.
And what?
And what?
And I'm still here. And what?
Mm-hmm.
Clock. And I was like, yes. Work, diva. And so I thought that was very tea, but I think it kind of goes back to what Carter and Rossi found, was like, we don't know what to do when people don't want to be the strong Black woman, or not that they don't want to be the strong Black woman, but they redefine it for themselves.
Yeah, they don't show up how we're expecting them.
Yeah.
To.
Mm-hmm. And it feels so different, but like, why are we making fun of a Black woman kind of crying or being upset or being hurt?
Mm-hmm.
When that's been used against you?
Girl, clock it.
Clock
it. Chat.
And also citing the yes. redefining article. So it's in their own words, the meaning of the strong Black woman schema among Black U.S. college women. I promise I can read. And that's by Jones, Harris, and Reynolds in 2020.
Shout out.
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, so yes. I think that watching Black women be on reality TV, I think there's not a beautiful, but it is kind of beautiful in a poetic, artistic, mm-hmm. wow, I can't believe I'm experiencing life kind of way. There's like this double-edged sword kind of.
Yes.
Of like black community and what it can look like.
Mm-hmm.
Black sisterhood, and sometimes how it hurts, but sometimes how it heals.
Exactly. There's multitudes to it. And part of, I think, the piece of like it can hurt sometimes mm-hmm. is knowing that for us to be able to see those things,
yeah,
there are Black women that are putting themselves out there.
Yeah.
They're putting themselves through it to be publicly perceived and scrutinized.
Yeah.
So I think that part for me really hurts, that in the process of us being able to enjoy something so beautiful,
yeah,
they're getting hurt, but they're also... It was going to happen. I don't want to say it was going to happen either way, but no matter where we are,
yeah,
it's inevitable.
Yeah.
So
it's humanizing.
Again, it is humanizing. Mm-hmm. And I go back to just how grateful I was to be able to see Alandria and Shelly.
Yeah.
Have that relationship that they have and show community in the way that they did.
Yeah.
Even in spite of...
Yeah.
Everything, the hurricane that was happening around it.
Hurricane is the word.
That is the word. Because, baby.
They is in there just trying to stay alive. Just wind whipping, rain just on. And there's lightning happening. And they're just like,
yeah,
everything's fine.
Just trying to exist.
Trying.
Lord.
But, yeah. And I feel like, yeah, I think it's beautiful, right? Watching Shelly and Alandria, even talking about the ways that they show up for each other. And I think described in this article, they even talk about the ways that like they kind of showed that they were supporting each other. Yeah. I mean, they described them as, you know, having adoring eyes, looking out as the other speaks, or their continued hand holding. Yeah. And so Ayanna writes, there's an unsaid connection and sisterhood that comes with being with being Black women on reality television. I mean, yeah, amidst their continued laugh and clacky hand gestures during the interview, Alandra says with a full smile, "My girl, we are in it for the long haul." Lord, please let it be true, especially with all the mess going on.
Oh my God.
Anyways,
yeah,
I'm literally trying to like skip over that,
you know,
because
sisterhood.
Don't let a man ruin it. Look at. Imagine that I'm grabbing your shoulders.
Don't let
that man ruin that for you.
Child.
Please. Oh my God. Men talk so much, eh?
Oh my gosh. Men talk so the mouth. Just they go. They go.
Please. Oh my God. Oh. But all in all, I think, it was very nice to see them supporting each other. And you know. And I think it's, like you said, very nice to see, I think, both spectrums. I think it humanizes Black women. It shows that we have flaws. We're human. We're imperfect. We're tea. Mm. We're gaggy. We're muggy. Oh. Okay? The edges be laid. We're intelligent. We're courageous. We're brave. We're strong. We're vulnerable.
Come on, affirmation.
We're worth protecting. Okay? Like, we're worth considering. Oh. Hello? We're worth taking care of. Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
We're worthy. Okay, we're valid. Dang it. Go tell a Black woman she rocks today.
Today.
Today. Now, turn it down and go tell your mama you love her. Well, to the Black. Anyways. We need to.
So we're just going to move past that.
Just go to. Actually. Yes. Okay. So transitioning a little bit. So we would love for you guys to interact with us. We would love for you to take a little seat on the couch with us.
Join us.
Yeah, bring your cup and we will cheers and we will talk and we will shoulder rub and read literature together. I don't even know what accent was.
I don't have a
me neither. But if you like that accent, I have more. We would love to interact with you. So follow us on all our socials at TN Theory Podcast. Mm-hmm. You can email us if you have comments, questions, concerns. If you love us, if you hate us.
You can keep that one to yourself.
Yeah.
But if you love us.
You can email us at tntheorypodcast@gmail.com. And yeah, share your thoughts, your experiences. Tell us we're tea, girl.
Support Black women.
If you can even email us if you were like interested in helping us pay for tuition.
You know, we are students. Been in this for the long haul.
And lucky we can't get off the train. The train has left.
It is left.
I can't see the station. I look back and I'm like,
there's no station back there. We're on, like, there's nothing on the side of us.
No.
We cannot exit left or right. You can't even tuck and roll. We're here.
So we're just going to get to this. So, yeah, help us. Yeah. But all of that to say, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, hit us up. And so we'll be wrapping us up today. And so how we would love to wrap up our sessions, our episodes, is with Quenisha.
Yes.
And her mindfulness, her wonderfulness. So I'll pass that off to you, Diva.
Thank you. So as I mentioned earlier, I am a yogi. I don't think I actually mentioned I'm a yoga teacher. So I think I forgot that part. But... Now you know. Yes. So I'm going to lead us in a little mindfulness meditation. And why we do this is because often Black women don't get opportunities to just stop, sit down, rest, anything during their day. or have anybody really, even when we ask each other how we're doing, a lot of times Black women aren't getting that, and people actually want to hear about how you're doing. So we want to be really intentional in connecting with you. And I want to invite you to, if you are comfortable, close your eyes. Maybe you find a space to lay down. Maybe you put your feet flat on the floor and just sit straight up. If you're not comfortable with closing your eyes, then it's okay to just let your eyes just slowly drift and fall. They don't have to close completely. But I'll invite you to begin to take a few deep breaths, breathing deep into your diaphragm, allowing your tummy to fully expand, taking some slow deep breaths in and out at your own pace. And while you're breathing, just allow yourself to let go, relax, and be present. As Black women, we often find ourselves moving at the speed of light, always busy, always caring for someone, always on the go. However, you deserve moments to sit, be present, rest, and just be a person, be a Black woman, to be loved, to be light, to be at peace. You deserve moments of stillness, of rest, as you're taking a deep breath in and out. Just allow yourself to settle in and just be here in the moment. If your mind begins to drift, that's okay. Just come back to this moment, because this is that. It is your moment. I'll leave you with these final thoughts, and you can repeat them silently to yourself or out loud if you choose in your home. But I deserve rest. I deserve peace. I deserve to just be. I invite you to invite movement slowly back into your body, wiggling your fingers, wiggling your toes, and at your own pace, begin to open your eyes back and come back into the present moment. We thank you for joining us here at TN Theory for our first episode. And we are so excited to have you join us here on the couch every other Monday. Come take your seat with us, and we will see you next time. Bye! Bye.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.